As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. Feel it up. Feel it up. Feel it up. Feel it up.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. We have a great show, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about the microscopic enemies. Oh, yeah, and where that's going to take us. Well, it's going to empower us, believe it or not. So just hang tight. And we got a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. And our devotional puts us here in Romans 13. It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Absolutely. The armor of God. The whole armor of God. Yeah, to squelch those fiery darts of evil and then some. So seek the Lord's face if you want that armor. Get into the Word and be empowered. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, thanks, Frank. First up in the quacker, in the news was Disease X, how scientists are preparing for that next pandemic. Well, Disease X just means it's unknown. Some sort of serious, you know, pathological, well, from pathological people, some microbial threat. So Disease X, in fact, is a term they've coined many years ago to have scientists work with medical countermeasures to help with unknown infections, novel viruses, if you will. So, of course, we know COVID-19 was created intentionally. It's been worked on since the 70s. So the idea was to encourage scientists in the development of a platform using technologies to help in the manufacturing also of vaccine therapies, diagnostic tests, how to rapidly adapt and deploy a lot of these pandemic type of potential treatments. Now, the World Health Organization added disease X in 2017 to their short list of pathogens, deemed it a top priority at the time, and the issue made it also into the agenda of the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Moving along in the Quack Report. Oh, yes, Frank says it's fear-mongering. Yeah. Well, we're going to have some, you know, armor at the end of this show, so don't worry. Plant-based, last but not least, Frank, plant-based fast foods, not healthier, they said, than the regular counterparts. This is a study. Pazen University Medical Sciences in Poland did a study. They were looking at plant-based menu items in restaurants to see if they were healthier or not to the counterparts of meat side dishes. Their published study was in the Journal of Nutrition. No clear healthier benefits than ditching the meat, they're saying. So they looked at 2,400 meal records from 50 fast food chains in 5 countries, Poland, Australia, Canada, and the United States, and the UK. They collected a lot of information on allergens, calorie count, fiber, macronutrients, salt, in almost 1,870 plant-based meals. They also then matched these to the meat-based counterpart meal in the same country, same fast food chain. So they found that the plant-based vegetarian or vegan fast food meal contained more carbohydrates, fiber, and sugar, and less protein and sodium than the animal or meat-based counterpart. So they said choosing plant-based substitutes for your favorite dish from fast food restaurants is essentially trading protein-derived calories for those derived from carbohydrates, according to the research. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay. So we're going to dive into the microscopic enemies. And don't you worry. Don't you fret. You know, we got some alternative approaches to these things. Now, in June of 2021, academic journal, The Conversation, had a discussion on pandemic disease. It was all discussed, and they said the predictions on what the next pandemic will be like were found to be unreliable due to the vast number of diseases that could occur, they said. And it was suggested that monitoring the diseases we have now is a better endeavor in an attempt to curtail outbreaks. Now, science is stating that there are a trillion individual species of microorganisms, and science has knowledge of about 0.001% of those organisms. Therefore, it is unlikely that science has knowledge of all pathogens that may threaten human life. Here's a quote from Jay Lennon. He's a professor of biology at Indiana University in Bloomington. This also wound up in the publication Aon, September 2018. He said, a single gram of agricultural soil can routinely contain more than 10,000 species of microorganisms. Similarly, we know that nearly 10 trillion bacterial cells make up the human microbiome. So microbes are found in the Earth's crust, in the atmosphere, and the full depth of its oceans and ice caps, he says. End of quote. He goes on to say, in total, the estimated number of microbial cells on Earth hovers around a non-million, a number that outstrips imagination and exceeds the estimated number of stars in the universe. End of quote. Wow. Can't wrap your head around that, Frank. All right, so there's the known and the unknown, according to science. According to the research, science is saying they know about 1,400 pathogens that can infect humans, cause an injury and death, and these include your viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protozoa, which is a single cell microscopic organism like an amoeba, or the helminths, which are parasites. Now, according to Jerry Mahler, he's a researcher in physiological science in Oklahoma State University, research that he was involved in wound up in the Journal of Conversation, and he said, there is a lot of being gained from knowing who our microscopic enemies are. So he usually works in the level 3 bio labs, and we'll get into those levels in a minute. He goes on to say, scientists study microscopic pathogens up close and personal to learn how they work, end of quote. And that's what scientists are telling us. They want to look at even some of the most deadliest, lethal pathogens because what they learn is going to help protect mankind, is what they often tell us. Now, Oklahoma University has a biosecure lab for 10 research groups to work on dangerous pathogens. And the scientists look at more than just the pathogen. They actually look at how the pathogen can cause harm, and they investigate the following. They look at variations in the virus or the bacteria. They identify how this pathogen works inside a host cell. They see how the immune system responds to the pathogen and what genes does it activate to make proteins with. They look at how underlying conditions like diabetes, obesity, age, or cardiovascular disease affects the outcome. And they look at how to best detect the pathogen and eliminate it. So the research is leading us to disease treatments, they say, otherwise known as vaccines, and possibly reveal emerging pathogens, according to the study. So science is saying 70% of new infections globally stem from animals, zoonotic disease, or is science adopting animal diseases to infect humans? They are studying the disease pathways and learning how they work. Modification of a protein switch could actually enable animal diseases to infect humans. And they've gotten very sophisticated with that. Here is another quote from the journal article in The Conversation. They said, the more dangerous the pathogen, the more urgently scientists want to understand it. They go on to say, there is no such thing as zero risk inside bio labs. Yeah, absolutely. And Jerry Mahler goes on to say, it is critical to understand how these zoonotic pathways work in order to have an even a modest ability to predict what could happen. Well, let's look at these bio labs for a second. So there are, you know, different levels of bio labs. There's bio lab level 1 and 2. Which we're told are general laboratories of low to no risk, so there's no work in microorganisms that pose a serious threat to people or animals. Then you have BioLab 3. These are laboratories of high individual risk but low community risk, which a pathogen that may cause serious human disease, but treatments are typically available. And then BioLevel 4. Entails work with pathogens that pose a high risk to people and animals, or both, that is transmitted among individuals and for which an effective treatment may not be available. There are 13 level 4 labs within the United States and 60 globally. So let's look at the concentration of these labs for a minute. According to a scientist, Gregory Kolbetz, of George Mason University in Virginia, he said a majority of the Bio4 labs are in Europe. He said Europe has 23 of them. The USA has 14. Asia has 13. Australia has 4. And Africa has 3. Gregory goes on to say, of the approximate 60 labs worldwide, at least 20 have been built in the last decade, adding to the chances that something unexpected could happen. The majority of these labs are run, he says, by public health agencies and not the military. He says more than 70% of the labs are located in urban centers where a virus could spread with ease. Well, you know, who's the brainiac that thought that up? Some of this information is kind of spooky, but Gregory goes on to say, at the end of the day, the important thing is that there is a large group of viruses which are lethal, transmissible, and for which we have no cures or treatment. Alarmingly, not all level 4 labs or their local authorities maintain best practices when it comes to biosafety procedures. Only 1/4 of the countries with level 4 labs score well on best practices indicating for biosafety and biosecurity. One type of dual-use research at labs is called gain-of-function research, which involves intentionally modifying a pathogen to give it new characteristics such as to enhance lethality or transmissibility. And we expect more countries to seek these types of labs in the wake of COVID as part of their renewed emphasis on pandemic preparedness and response. End of quote. Gain-of-function labs. We heard that term, haven't we, Frank? So, hey, you know, I know it sounds bad, and even the Bible paints a really bad picture of the latter days, but God says you should have hope because He is our defense. He is our protection. So in the wake of pathogen labs and creating new bioweapons, there is an unending attempt by mankind to create more vaccines. Now, I prefer to use God's immune support herbs and herbs that have natural inhibitors towards a lot of lethal pathogens. There are risks using vaccines and little to no risk using your medicinal plants if you want to use them for prevention and protection. To give you an example, gentian root has a natural inhibitor to Ebola. Pitcher's plant has a natural inhibitor to smallpox, and these have been scientifically proven. So you've got the, and then of course thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, has a natural inhibitor for tuberculosis. So you have a lot of medicinal plants that are here, provided, available, economically so, and, if you do your homework, you can have some on hand. Now your, teas will be the weakest as far as potency, and then capsules and tablets a little stronger, and then your most potent will be your liquids known as tinctures or extracts. So I like the tinctures and extracts because you can adjust dose by weight for children or pets. You can use aggressive doses if necessary. And the shelf life is 10 years on your liquids if you store them appropriately away from heat and light. So, now some of you, if you're in hot climates and you don't have air conditioning in the hot months, stick them in a Ziploc bag and then put that Ziploc bag in a brown paper bag and you can put it in your refrigerator. That way, it's least likely for evaporation to, evaporate off your liquids and also, protect them from the light from the refrigerator as you open the door. So, you know, keep them away from, you know, microwaves and heat sources like ovens and things. Usually if you're an environmentally controlled home, in a cabinet, away from heat and light is just fine, you know. I wouldn't keep it sitting out on the counter, because you got a lot of air circulating with your HVAC. People walking by causes a little bit of a draft. And a lot of your tincture bottles with droppers on them aren't airtight, so you will have evaporation there. So if you put them, though, in a cabinet, it's less likely to evaporate. So store appropriately, and you'll have a long shelf life with your product. Now, Apothecary Herbs has a free product catalog. Their new catalog is available. So you can check out some of the things in there. Like their pandemic kit is in there, all natural. They have other herb formulas for serious pathogens. So give them a call and find out how powerful you can be with tools God has promised in Scripture. Herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. God can't lie. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972. ThePowerHerbs.com. ThePowerHerbs.com. Like I said, new catalog. Request yours. Get one while they're in stock. By the way, they're having their New Year's sale, so it's 20% off. New year, new you. A great time to do cleansing, you know, after you probably misbehaved at Christmas. You know, definitely cleanse out all that extra stuff you don't need to hang on to. So they have lovely organ cleanses. You can check them out. So 20% off, though, and this is on orders of 65 or more, but you want to use coupon PURE24. Details are on the homepage, but the sale does end on the 27th of January, so don't wait too long. They have been working hard to restock on formulas from the Christmas sale. That was a pretty big sale. And so you can stock up on what you need and get your cleanses going. Definitely cleanse before vacation time, because vacation time's not a great time to cleanse. You're too distracted. You're too busy, just like you are at the holidays. So in between holidays and vacations, great time to cleanse, remove heavy metals, radioactive particles, pharmaceutical residues, all these things you don't want to hold on to. So you want to start with your bowel cleanse. That's always the first cleanse. The last cleanse is the blood cleanse. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs make it pretty easy. In the catalog, the cleanses are listed in order in which you do them. They're also up on the website. You can buy them all in one kit if you want and just start on top with the instructions and do one cleanse at a time. Some people do it that way. It's your call. But the Power Herbs puts the power back in your hands. You'll be amazed how powerful you will be with some very simple, basic, organic, earthy, God-created herbs. Really? He gets all the credit every day, all the time. Now, if you're on the website, don't forget to sign up for the free online newsletter. So if you have email, you can get these newsletters that are absolutely free. Contain a lot of healthy information and natural stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else. So they have the American Survival that goes out on Tuesday. Also included in that issue is going to be some information on the gold and silver financial markets, if you're tracking that kind of thing. Also, the Health Quest newsletter goes out on Friday, and you can sign up at thepowerherbs.com. Click on books and newsletters and sign up there for free. So they're very popular. People seem to like them. You can share them with friends and family, but it's all about taking back the empowerment for yourself and for your family and friends and being well out there. Absolutely, getting powerful and well. So, I think we've got a few minutes before we got to take a break, so I'm going to jumpstart our next segment. A lot of people have been calling Frank about, you know, memory issues and Alzheimer's lately. And I tell people, definitely you want to make sure you check if you're on prescription drugs that may be creating a drug-induced Alzheimer's kind of symptom. So definitely do that. You can get on your website or on your computer, on your search engine, and type in the drug name and the word side effect. Usually WebMD will have common and rare side effects. Or you can look this stuff up in a physician's desk reference. You can find those at bookstores, library, and things like that. And you can buy one, have one at your house, and that way you can just look them up. But a lot of times it can be the cardiovascular meds, I've noticed, statin drugs especially, can create an Alzheimer memory type of symptom. And once people are taken off of it, the doctor takes them off of it, those, you know, memory issues go away. So it's reversible. That's the good thing. So don't always think, you know, you developed it. You may have a drug-induced version. So always check that out. So we're getting calls about that. So I thought we'd talk about things that can prematurely age our brains. make us older, make us more frail and forgetful. Because more people are concerned about cognitive health than ever before. And McGovern Institute of Brain Research at MIT say brain disorders are at a historical high. And they are reporting that in the UK, 35% of all the disease is attributed to brain disorders. They any kind of cognitive failure comes with extraordinary economic costs. So Europe reports that brain disorders cost patients, on average, about $4,500 a year. So cognitive maladies are about 40% of lost productivity in the workplace. And brain disease encompasses neurological malfunctions like Parkinson's, MS, ALS, Alzheimer's, and personality disorders, psychiatric illnesses, autism, seizures, migraines, all brain-type conditions. Now, the United Nations states 1 in 6 people in the world is going to have a brain disease. And in the United States alone, 1 in 6 children are born and diagnosed with developmental disabilities. I personally think it's attributed to the vaccination schedule, but that's my opinion. Now, a small number of conditions that science attributes are, they call it hereditary. And according to Oregon Health Science University, Brain Awareness Week begins, and we're in the thick of it, and they have a list of brain-related diseases on their website if you want to check it out. So what could be causing a lot of this detrimental brain unwellness worldwide? We're going to check out and see when we come back from this break. Be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, International 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thank you, Frank. A little bouncy music. Always get your feet tapping. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, Frank says, a gain of function is nothing more than a weapon, a bioweapon lab, period. I know, Frank. Yeah. I think people are starting to get that. I really do. All right. So we're talking about our brains. National average, they said the U.S. national average, to be diagnosed with a neurological disease is on the rise. In the United States, over 5 million are getting diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, 8 million with bipolar disorder, 2 million with epilepsy, 28 million with migraines, 1 million with Parkinson's, and 700,000 with brain cancer. So what are some of the things that can hurt our brains? Well, there are several things that we can do that have a negative impact on our brains, which is in no way, this list I'm going to give you is no way complete. Smoking cannabis is apparently not healthy, as well as sleep, not getting enough of it, obesity, idleness, alcohol, heavy metals, chemotherapy causes a lot of chemo brain, loneliness, stress, sugar, smoking, and diet. So those are the big ones. And, you know, for the most part, we have a lot of power over every one of those. So we're going to take a look at a few of these. Let's look at the cannabis, the marijuana. In 2014, the Center for Brain Health at the University of Texas in Dallas, they looked into long-term use of marijuana on the brain. Many studies have been done on this particular plant, but few looked at the long-term use. The problem is people are using this plant as a recreational therapy, and when it was really intended for a medicinal therapy. So the marijuana has always been in the category of our pain types of herbs, and you just use that when needed. So the Center for Brain Health looked at MRI scans and IQ tests, cognitive tests, and compared that to gender protocols and also compared it to long-term effect of alcohol and tobacco use. They concluded that long-term use of recreational marijuana causes gray matter loss in the brain, which means it negatively affects the connectivity or the wiring of the brain, and it starts to degrade. So according to their research, this destruction of the brain occurs within 6 to 8 years of use. So long-term use can make your brain shrink, is what they said. Additionally, this occurs. National Institute of Drug Abuse also reported April 2017. They compared it to people who do not use marijuana, and those who use marijuana on a regular basis showed that how the marijuana tends to alter the brain's connectors or connections in the area that houses your memory, your learning, and your impulse control. New Zealand also did a study, and they reported that using marijuana results in 8 to 10 point reduction in IQ, and that is because the plant alters how the hippocampus, or your memory and your information processing area, function. So this area seems to be altered with the loss of neurons, and it produces what medicine would say looks like an age-related loss of brain cells. But another way to put it is the hippocampus loses neurons every day over 8 years or longer. Then we tend to experience nerve cell loss and brain function. Well, the brain ages twice as fast as it should, basically. All right, looking at loneliness, in 2016, Psychology Today ran their report on the effects of loneliness on your brain. They found that humans have different tolerances to being alone. And for those who seem to tolerate loneliness better than others, it's because of their neural mechanisms. So in the study, neuroscience at Piskor Center of MIT, they looked at dopamine levels and brain neurons, and their research led them to identify an area of the brain that identifies with loneliness near the back of the brain called the dorsal Ralph nucleus, or DRN. So it appears that the dopamine neurons are super sensitive to periods of social isolation. Individuals can develop depression, have higher levels of stress hormones, weak immune systems, illness, and premature death if not corrected. Now, for those who tolerate solitude a lot better than others do, researchers think that their brains, their dorsal Ralph nuclei, is wired to prefer social isolation without feeling lonely. All right, smoking was on the list. The folks at WebMD posted some research that appeared in the 2015 Journal of Molecule Psychiatry, and it compared smokers and non-smokers. Their brain scans revealed that smokers have a thinner cortex compared to non-smokers. So the brain cortex will house memory, language, and perception. So if smokers stop smoking, they can achieve partial restoration of the cortex. And science is reporting that as we age, the cortex will thin, so smoking accelerates that aging process of the brain. Here's a quote from Dr. Schiff Carrera, McGill University in Montreal. He said, smokers should be informed that cigarettes could hasten the thinning of the brain's cortex, which could lead to memory, learning, and thinking problems. Cortical thinning seems to persist for many years after someone stops smoking. End of quote. Now, sugar was on the list. In 2012, research from UCLA found that sugar and high fructose corn syrup interfere with the brain, causing memory and learning problems, and slows brain function. They reported that when we get sugar or eat sugar, it slows the synaptic activity, and if we overdo sugar, we damage the communication between brain cells. So the sugar interferes with brain hormones and the regulation of brain cell function. Too much sugar will lower insulin brain levels, and insulin is supposed to strengthen the synaptic connection between your brain cells. So the researchers also concluded sugar in the diet contributes to anxiety and depression, so any damage to the brain can increase our risk of cognitive brain disease like Alzheimer's, they said. And alcohol on our list here, the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse reported, if you're a regular consumer of alcohol, it interferes with the brain's communication pathways. Over time, it can change the brain's structure and function, and the effects are evident in mood, behavior, coordination, and cognitive functions. And, of course, we did mention stress. So compounded stress can prematurely age us, especially our brain. Research out of New York Mount Sinai School of Medicine reported how stress damages the brain. So the brain has to respond to internal stress, and this affects memory and cognitive function. So if stress continues, it accelerates memory loss, and the brain continues to age. So repeated stress shrinks the hippocampus, a vital part of the brain's limbic system that regulates long-term memory, and brain shrinkage decreases neuroplasticity. So, we've got a lot of things we have control over to keep our brains healthy. Dr. Robert Lee, integrative medicine, Beth Israel Medical Center says, patients come in complaining of faulty memory and wonder if they are developing dementia. We do a workup, an MRI scan, and if it looks normal, I ask them what their lifestyle is and often find they have compounded stress. All right, so the diet, this is the Medical Daily 2014 reported on foods that have a negative impact on our brains. And these are the foods they listed. Caffeine. They say don't drink anything that has caffeine in it if you suffer from mental illness. According to Dr. Lauren Napolitano at Brian Mar Hospital in Pennsylvania, the caffeine passes into the brain and can increase the risk of manic or panic attack episodes. Caffeine creates an addictive effect and can also offer headaches. They said stay away from MSG. It's a food additive. It offers side effects like headaches, anaphylactic shock in some people. It can also influence your brain health. They said MSG can attack the brain stem and offer stimulants or neuron receptors. So the increase in the impulses exhausts the brain cells, and then they die hours later. So you want to be aware the food industry has created new names for MSG to disguise them. Here are some examples. Natural flavor is really MSG. Soy protein isolate is MSG. Sodium caseinate, MSG. Autonolized yeast extract and some other names, all MSG. Dr. Truratt wrote a book called Secret Assassins in Foods, and he gives you the full list of names for MSG if you want to pick one of those books up. Pre-cooked processed foods is on the list, too. Not good for your old noodle upstairs. Foods that are devoid of nutrition cause an overstimulation of the production of dopamine, which leads to food cravings. And these foods are known to affect behavior and cognitive function. So since these foods contain more chemicals and synthetic compounds, it's harder for the body to metabolize and to detoxify from them. Therefore, a study in 2012, the Journal of Clinical Investigation found that a lot of these foods cause damage to the hippocampus of the brain, which regulates hunger, thirst, and cycles or rhythms like sleep cycles and menstruation and so forth. Salt was on the list, the processed kind, the one that's devoid of all nutrition. It's very dry, it's very white, essentially a waste product, basically, this sodium chloride. So science says that this type of salt will decrease cognitive function. Processed salt is in processed foods, canned goods, snack foods, sport drinks. Unprocessed salt, called Celtic salt, contains 84 microminerals, which is healthy for the body, including the cardiovascular system. So you want to discern between healthy and unhealthy salt out there. Also, trans fats, called omega-6 fats, also contribute to bad cholesterol. Your LDL can have a negative impact on your brain. This was an article in 2012 in the Journal of Neurology, said that these types of fats cause brain shrinkage, arterial stiffness, and interfere with the brain nerve transmission. All right, so things that can help your brain. So you have a lot of power staying away from the things that can hurt your brain. And here's some of the things that will help the brain. Brief list, regular exercise, meditation and prayer, learning to play a musical instrument, using omega-3 fatty acids and B12, diet which would include blueberries and walnuts and healthy fats, that kind of thing, a lot of antioxidants. Multitasking helps the brain, green tea, and medicinal herbs. So some herbs people say, well, it's good for memory. Well, ginkgo biloba is good, but you got to pair it with a circulatory herb to get it to the brain. So I like to use rosemary and cayenne if I'm going to use ginkgo. So the diet is really going to be a huge contributor to your overall brain health. According to the Society for Neuroscience, certain foods can reverse the aging of your brain. In their report, they found that blueberries and walnuts reverse several parameters of brain aging relating to your motor cortex and your cognitive function. Blueberries and walnuts. Now, scientists think these foods reduce inflammation that affect the central nervous system, which probably is true. This is James Joseph, U.S. Department of Agriculture. He says, it appears that compounds found in fruits and vegetables, including walnuts, provide the necessary protection to prevent the demise of cognitive and motor function in aging. End of quote. Blueberries and walnuts. Try to get organic. So learning to play a musical instrument is a significant, has a big impact on the brain. Medical studies and MRI scans show a difference between certain areas of the brain between musicians and non-musicians. So the area of the brain that changes structure after just 15 months of playing music is the hippocampus, which is your learning center and your memory center. Science reports that musicians develop new neurons, and they also found that musicians are usually good at math. I read a report once, Frank, that said that people who play a musical instrument, they all have, when they have an MRI scan, they can see it. They call it the musician's bump. There's a little bump in the back of the brain area. If you play a musical instrument, you'll have this bump in your brain. It's nothing to worry about. They just noticed it. Musicians have this. They call it the musician's bump. I think that's kind of neat. So there are a lot of things that we can avoid and things that we can use to help our brains to be healthier. There are herbs also for neurological areas that we can use in addition to improving our lifestyle and help our brain out. Here's an example. You can stop smoking. That's going to help you avoid headaches and antidepressant drugs. A lot of your drugs, your class known of drugs, can be highly toxic, and these toxins work against nutrition. So toxins create metabolic blockages, and they can also increase our risk of disease. Now, scientific research reports that meditation and thought can change the DNA, just think, which you can do by removing toxins, heavy metals, pharmaceutical residues, do your organ cleansing, like we mentioned earlier. Imagine what you can do to help clear up your mind and help you think clearly, boosting your immune system. All these things are quite easily done with the right medicinal plants. So God's provided those, and he gets all the credit for that every day, all the time. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call if you want to learn how to do your cleansing, toxin removal, get rid of the stumbling blocks to help your lifestyle really kick in and improve brain function a whole lot more. So you have that power right now. And you're so lucky that you have the ability to have access to those types of herbs because some people in other parts of the world aren't allowed to use them. So, something to thank God for. Okay, so we got a few minutes left, and I just want to quickly touch on some toxins in medical treatments you may not be aware of. A lot of risks, as you know, in drug therapies and surgeries. So let's pick up on surgery for just a minute. Not all, but most surgeries are from us pretty much ignoring some signs of illness and maybe covering up the symptoms with different medications. Surgeries for trauma or congenital defects are kind of the exception. Now, statistically, there are so many surgeries in many different specialties, including elective plastic surgery, that the numbers would take up too much space to really report on. But suffice it to say, there are more than 35 million surgeries every year for cancer alone. and there is more than, that's more than the number of cars. That's more than the number of SUVs and trucks sold, 17 million of them, in the U.S. Unbelievable. So when undergoing surgery, your body receives drugs and anesthetics to paralyze or minimize muscle movement during surgery. The post-op medications offer additional exposure to toxins that can burden the liver. And the average number of prescription drugs given after surgery is 9. You'll have painkillers, antibiotics, immune suppressants, diuretics, stool softeners, blood pressure drugs, and sleeping medication. Surgery also usually requires a lot of x-rays or CTs or MRI studies exposing you to radiation. And the result is a lot of radioactive substances can, and these residues can lodge in the tissues in your body. And in some cases, radioactive iodine may be part of the x-ray for thyroid or heart diagnostic studies. And radiation is also a cancer treatment using radioactive cobalt and radium to shrink tumors. So, do your homework on surgeries. Please. Especially elective kinds. You got time. Let's look at the drug therapies. It's a big deal. Drugs can work fast, but they are also toxic. Prescription or street medications produce a very rapid effect after it reaches your bloodstream and it gets into your organs. So drugs alter the way the body works, and this denotes toxicity, and that outweighs any therapeutic effect, really. Most pharmacologists believe that the desired effect is attributed to one chemical or plant compound, and the rest of the compounds are unimportant. So separating the plant compounds to remove the buffer alkaloids or making synthetic clones of these compounds makes the isolated chemicals more toxic than in their original state. So think of the buffer alkaloids as natural safeguards, which help regulate and neutralize any toxic action that the compounds may have in the body. You also want to realize that drugs have more than just one effect on the body, creating a secondary disease we call a side effect. So if it were not a disease, your physician could not prescribe a medication to address those side effects. So be aware that most drugs have very small margins of safety in them. And a lot of them, like we mentioned, can, you know, give you symptoms of Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia. It's a drug-induced form. So let's talk about your secondary disease. So with very tight margins, drugs offer, it's very easy to see some negative reactions. So a majority of the most popular medications can produce the following symptoms: skin rashes, anaphylactic shock, respiratory distress, yeast or bacterial overgrowth, dizziness, headache, joint pain, pulmonary damage, kidney stones, seizures, neurological changes, vision problems, and organ damage. So 60 of the most common medications can cause light sensitivity and offer a greater risk to sunburn. You know, which medications, you may be asking? Well, drugs like diuretics, antidepressants, birth control pills, antihistamines, blood pressure and diabetic medicines, sulfur drugs, antiseptic creams, and cancer medication. So prescribed medications are frequently the fastest and easiest way to control a symptom, but do nothing to correct the cause of the condition. So using drug therapy to deal with these illnesses is like taking cocaine to deal with an emotional distress disorder. Eventually, you're going to have to address your emotions, and now you got to detox your system from the cocaine addiction. So in most cases, there are less toxic ways to deal with health issues. It's really important that we look at alternatives out there, and there's a lot of successful ones. Some people are just like, well, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to use herbs. I don't know what to do. And I can get that. I understand that completely. Some people have to have step by step. Some people have to be monitored, have someone hold their hand. And if you need a practitioner to be there to do that for you, maybe a naturopath. they're holistic folks. They look the big picture. They look at the body as a whole and how things work, because there can be a cascade domino effect from just having one little thing out of whack. So they look at cause and effect, which I like. So if you need somebody there to, you know, monitor you, hold your hand a little bit, and you're not really crazy about modern medicine's approach, then maybe look at a naturopath. So you can get on your computer, on your, you know, Google or wherever your browser is, and type in naturopath near me, and maybe put your zip code in and see who comes up. Now, if you're in some states prohibit naturopath practices, and so I think New York's one of them. So you may have to look outside the state. So, but if you want to get your feet wet, roll up your sleeves a little bit, and learn to use herbs like you learned to tie your shoes and brush your teeth as a kid, well, then call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free herbal catalog. Lots of information in there. Also, lots of information on their website, thepowerherbs.com. You can also call and ask questions. They have a toll-free number at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. And, be empowered, you know. Sometimes the simple tools are the best ones. The body responds to nutrition big time. So get the toxins out, which are the stumbling blocks for regeneration and healing. Put the nutrition in, boost your immune system, and you got most complications taken care of. So try it. You'll like it. God promises He's with you on that. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. And don't forget, 20% off New Year sale at thepowerherbs.com. Details online, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.